Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Oh, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. Live with Pastor Al that almost wasn't here. I was watching the clock and I read it wrong. I thought I had about another 30 seconds to go before I had to come on. So thankfully, Eric got my attention in time to put my headsets on and jump into the program here this afternoon. Well, I'm glad you're with us today, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us. It'll be on till 2 o'clock. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call here today. You can call us at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'd love to get you on the program here this afternoon. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. We just pray that you would bless the program today. Use it for your glory. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody today. And just help us to point people to Christ. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, like I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis, a pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and we have the program here every Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2 o'clock, and then every Sunday night from 11 o'clock until midnight. And we encourage you to give us a call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, 888-677-9673. You can also find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, or our Facebook page. You can go there, facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And we are live streaming the program there this afternoon, so having a little problem, getting a little slow getting that hooked in here beforehand. So had a little almost missed my start of the program trying to look at that, make sure that was all plugged in correctly. But we're glad to have you, and want to invite you to visit us. Our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located in it's located in Richfield, Ohio. That makes sense, doesn't it? At 5171 Brecksville Road, and we're located right off from Interstate 77, right off from the Ohio Turnpike, right where they meet there, and on State Route 21 there, 5171 Brecksville Road in northern Summit County in Richfield. We're midway between Akron and Cleveland, and certainly invite you to come out and visit our Friday night Bible study if you don't have anything to do tonight and you'd like to ask questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word in person. You can do that there, and that's what we'll be doing from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock, an informal Bible study tonight. And then on Sunday, we have our regular services there. The morning service is at 11 o'clock, and Lord willing, Bruce Musselman, some of you know him, familiar with him, is hopefully going to be with us on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. And then, of course, our Sunday evening service at 6 p.m., and that's all meeting at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road. And you can find out all that just to go to our Facebook, our webpage, livewithpastoral.com. That'll connect everything, Facebook, connect to our home church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. All those things can be found there. Well, I wanted to touch on a couple of things today, and I know it's kind of a slow news week. I was joking about that earlier, and we had the great news yesterday with new Secretary of State, I should say, Pompeo. He was confirmed by the Senate. I believe it was something like 53-47, I think is what the final tally was. And so that was good to see him confirmed. And then, of course, the ambassador to Germany was confirmed finally after over a year. And then We had another interesting development yesterday, and that was, of course, Kim Jong-un, the leader of North Korea, the dictator, I should say, of North Korea, actually made history when he met with the leader of South Korea. In there's a particular building that's located right on the line between the two Koreas. And in fact, if you're looking at the building, the border runs between right through the building and right across the table where they meet at. And Kim Jong-un actually crossed over into South Korea. That's historic. I think the last one possibly to have done that might have been his grandfather, but I'm not 100% sure even that his grandfather did that. So it may be since the Korean War or since the armistice of the Korean War back in the 50s that the South Korean or the North Korean leader crossed in. And does this mean peace? Well, they issued a statement. It was issued this morning saying that that they're ending the war between North and South Korea. And if you weren't aware, that war has been going on since the 1950s. It was never ended. The hostilities ceased. They had an armistice that ceased hostilities. That's why there's a demilitarized zone and why we have so many troops that are stationed along that demilitarized zone watching and enforcing the peace, but the war was never ended. And they issued a joint statement saying they were ending the war, and there's some other things that they have planned. So be interesting to follow in the news to see how honest and above board the North Korean leader is doing, or if this is simply a ploy in order to get some relief from the sanctions and stuff that are basically crippling the North Korean economy. That's what's brought them to the table, finally. And certainly our President Trump, very instrumental in setting the stage for this and standing up to him. You know, if you remember in grade school, the bullies, when you stood up to them, usually backed down. And he's been a bully North Koreans have been a bully for some time. And unfortunately, too many world leaders have backed down to the bullies rather than standing up to them. And fortunately, President Trump called his bluff, stood up to him, and we may see some real progress. So pray for that situation there. All right. Well, that's what I wanted to say about that. But again, I want to get into some other things here. And this is something that I've been wanting to continue on with. If you've been listening for a while, remember maybe back in February, I believe it was, I had started talking about an open letter that I had received in regards to millennials and church. And I had begun reading portions of it and discussing part of it, and one of the things was that they were leaving what was not real. This is why they're leaving churches. And another part here that I found rather interesting is they said, we're leaving what is not different. And this is interesting because this is one thing that we've noticed in our church is, and I've noticed, and maybe you've seen this too, is how much churches are trying to be like the world. They're almost looking at what is the world doing and bringing exciting people, and we're going to do that in our church. Now, some things can be used. The world uses certain things. They use air conditioning. I'm sure there were some churches when they first introduced air conditioning into churches that said, our grandfathers never had air conditioning in their churches. They used fans like any proper Christian would. And you ask what the bulletin is. That's a Christian fan. But I remember when churches advertised, we have air conditioning. And some people probably were upset with that. But you know what? Air conditioning sure works good in the summer. How about heating? I used to joke that my mom, there's a church out in where my mom went to when she was a young girl, and her sister used to set fires in the auditorium of the church. Well, the reason was, back when they were growing up during the Depression, their family farm was just up the hill from the church house, and they would go down and they would they had a potbelly stove in the center of the auditorium of the meeting room or meeting house, and their job was to go there early Sunday morning and light a fire in the potbelly stove so that when the people came to church a little bit later on in the morning, the room would have warmed up a little bit. And so that's what I always joke, talking about how my mom would set fires in the church. There's a church there today still, Lighthouse Baptist Church in Copley, Ohio, right there on Medina Line Road. So if you know anybody that goes out there, you can say, you tell Pastor Al's mom used to light fires in your church. But anyway, you know, there's people who objected to central air conditioning and central heating, I'm sure, at one time. And those work, you know, they make things helpful. It makes it a lot more comfortable to be in church. And I remember reading a book that the Southern Baptists put out one time. This was put out back in like the 1940s. And it was decrying the use of telephones. Now, I don't know of any church today that would give up their telephone, but they were saying, oh, no, the telephone is too worldly. It encourages gossip and sloth. And all these reasons why they perceive that a real Christian should not have a telephone. And no, I think we would agree that we can use telephones. And there's some things, you know, that depending on where you're at and everything, that you may or may not want to use or have. But just because the world uses some things doesn't make them automatically bad. But when our church tries to look like the world, well, then that's the problem. And some churches, you look like you're going into a show, into some kind of a rock concert and entertainment venue and everything. And millennials are actually saying, and in this letter by this millennial, Samuel Garcia, says, in modeling worship after commercial entertainment, you've compromised your identity, and we're still not coming back. He said, don't expect a worship style to do your dirty work. Contemporary worship hasn't worked. The longer we extend the life of this failed experiment, the more we see the results. And it gives a couple of statements by some other millennials. One named Jonathan said, don't give us entertainment, give us liturgy. We don't want to be entertained in church, and frankly, the church's attempt at entertainment is pathetic. Enough with the theatrics, enough with the lights, the visuals, the booming audio, the fog machine, the giveaway gimmicks, the whole production. Follow that simple yet profound formula that's worked for the entire history of the church. And you know, this is what a lot of churches, unfortunately, don't get. We're trying to outworld the world. Another comment here, another millennial by the name of Rachel made this comment. In response, many churches have sought to lure millennials back by focusing on style points, cooler bands, hipper worship, edgier programming, impressive technology. Yet while these aren't inherently bad ideas and might in some cases be effective, they are not the key to drawing millennials back to God in a lasting and meaningful way. Young people don't simply want a better show, and trying to be cool might be making things worse. Now, this is interesting when you see what the comments of these millennials are in regards to what people are doing and trying to lure people into these churches and trying to be as much like the world as they can. And, you know, we're called to be distinctive. John chapter 4, Jesus said this, starting in verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we need to understand that we're called to something different than just entertainment. We're called to something different than just tickling people's ears. In fact, Paul warned that there would come a day there in 2 Timothy that people would turn away from doctrine, sound doctrine. They'd heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And so we need to be on guard against that. And let me read that again. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, where Jesus said, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm afraid that many of our churches, we have thrown out the spiritual aspect of thing, and we've replaced it with entertainment. We've replaced it with theatrics. And this is what these millennials are saying here. Some of the very things that the older generations have become convinced they're supposed to lure the young people in is actually looking inauthentic to them. You know, you can never outworld the world. The world is always going to be more worldly than we are. And we should never try to outworld the world. You know, it's kind of interesting. I think about our church. We're a small church, and we try to stick with the Bible and preach the Bible, proclaim the Bible. And I had somebody visiting one time, a friend of mine. He's visited a couple times, and he's got some teenage children, and they were visiting the church. And our church is so small, and not only do we meet in a hotel, we don't have a piano, we don't have an organ, we don't even, usually most services even have a keyboard. We've got this weird little box called the hymn player that my wife and I initially got back in the 1990s when we were serving as missionaries. And this little box has a selection of hymns keyed into it, and you put the right 3-digit code in, and it begins to play the hymn, and it gives you a little bit of control over the volume, the tempo, and a couple of selections of the style, whether it's like a piano style or an organ style, a couple different styles of organ, things like that. And it's a real workhorse. It's simply called the hymn player, and you can still find them every once in a while online. We actually, a gentleman in our church found another one because we were having some problems with ours, but they last and they work well, and you just plug them into your speakers, but it's nothing fancy. And my friend was telling me, he says, "Yo, you have to admit the music at your church is kind of hokey." And I kind of laughed, and he said, "But you know what? My teenage kids said they really liked it because they said it was authentic." And I think that kind of gets back to what Jesus was saying when he said, "The hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth." You know, we don't have a band. We don't have a big drum set. We don't have electric guitars and all this stuff filling up. I don't know where we'd put them in our room. We'd fill up the room. We wouldn't have room for all that stuff. I remember seeing a church that had opened up for a while. They tried to get going down south of us, not too far from where we're at. And I remember they were meeting in a storefront, and nothing wrong with starting out in a storefront begin a church. A lot of good churches start that way, and so there's nothing wrong with that. But I remember looking in, and the room that they had set up for their auditorium, I think a third of the room was taken up with speakers. That's unbelievable. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, here's a room that's maybe 20 feet wide and maybe 30 feet deep, and about a third of it is taken up with almost floor-to-ceiling speakers. What's with that? You know, our church, we have a couple of speakers, little speakers. I think I don't even think they're a foot tall, and that for our hokey music out of our hymn player. But the music comes out so that we have a chance that we can sing praises to our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the important thing. You know, would it be nice if we had the facilities to have instruments and things like that? I've visited some churches where they have a nice orchestra set up or band type things set up where they have people in the church who are talented musicians, and they're playing, and the music is glorifying and God honoring, and it's wonderful to listen to. But you know, our church, we don't have that resource. We don't have that ability. In fact, some time ago, our church, we were looking around at the churches around us in the area, and we thought, you know, we cannot outcompete these other churches when it comes to their music. We just can't do it. I mean, I'm not a musically oriented person myself. I tried playing a variety of instruments, and including the violin, the piano, and the saxophone, and never got past Mary Had a Little Lamb. I got to Mary Had a Little Lamb, but when we had to go to Three Blind Mice, I could never quite make the jump to Three Blind Mice. So I'm pretty much not a musical person. But I do like to have the opportunity to praise God through song, through our church, while we're at church with other believers and things. And so we realized we're not going to outcompete the other churches in the area, and certainly not the world, with our musical program. So we said, we can't do that. And we looked around and we said, you know, we don't have the resources, we don't have the facilities that we can outcompete the other churches in the area or the world around us with entertainment and fascinating programs and exciting events. We just can't do it. We don't have the resources, we don't have the facilities, and so we just can't do that. And so rather than try to compete in those areas, we decided that our strength was in upholding the Word of God. And that's kind of where we focused. Now, that's probably not for everybody. It's a shame. I mean, Paul said it. He said there'd come a time when, that was in 2 Timothy chapter 4, actually, he said, it's coming a time, he said, when the time would come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And, you know, I recognize that. That's where some people are. Some people call themselves Christians. They want their ears tickled. They've got itching ears. They turn away from the truth. They turn unto fables. But here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said in verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And that's what I want for people that come to our church, to be immersed in the Word of God, to understand what the Bible has to say. I'm not the most evangelical preacher, or evangelistic preacher, I guess I could say. And, you know, pastors, the Bible never says that a pastor has to have the gift of evangelism. There's various gifts. Pastors should have the gift of teaching, I think. And there's certain other areas that I probably don't do quite as much as other pastors might. But one of the things that we are called to do is to proclaim and uphold the Word of God. And that's not something I think that our church does fairly well. And we can't compete with music. We can't compete with entertainment. We can't compete with programs and events and all kinds of things. I remember getting things from this one church one time, and they would say that every event was the greatest event they've ever held. And I would think, wow, how can you keep, topping every previous event so that every event is the greatest event you've ever held? If it's not, won't people be a little let down? Say, well, this isn't as great as the last greatest event ever held. And no, we just stick with the Word of God. That's what we try to do. And, a lot of people appreciate that. Contemporary Christians, I think a lot of them, trying to be like the world because they don't understand what the Bible has to offer. And they're trying to bring much of the world into the church. And they think they're going to reach the world by looking like the world. Now, we need to be different. We need to worship God in spirit and in truth. We need to lift up His Word. People have questions. People have questions. Young people have questions. And part of the problem that we have is our churches are so shallow, questions are not allowed. Here, this is a millennial again. Samuel Garcia wrote this paper, Why Millennials Are Leaving Churches. He said this, we know that you're trying to cater to our perceived shallowness, and we hate it. Give us that old-time religion. If we wanted a concert, we'll go to a concert. We don't want a concert. We want something different from the world. This is what young people want. This is what older people want. Something different from the world. We're called to be a peculiar people, different from the world. We're called to be conformed to the image of Christ, not the world. And our churches should reflect that. We need to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to proclaim His Word. If you got musical abilities, use them for the glory of God. That's great. But never lose track of the fact that what we do revolves around proclaiming Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. If that sounds like the kind of church that you'd like to visit, why don't you come out and visit us? Why don't you put your faith in Christ if you've never been saved? Thanks for listening. Join us next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.